Good morning, church. Today I want to talk to you about choosing how to spend the rest of your life. Now, the past few weeks, my family has been going through The Lord of the Rings, and we've been listening to it via audiobook, and it's been really fun. We made it to the second book of the trilogy, where the three heroes, Aragorn, he's a man, Legolas the elf, and Gimli the dwarf, they're surrounded by the men of Rohan, and these are tall, blonde warriors on horseback. Now, because the three heroes are trespassing on the land, the leader of the tall warriors, Éomer, has to make a choice. Either allow the three friends to continue their quest, or imprison them as his culture demands. Now, Éomer senses that the three friends are on a good quest, but he faces pressure from his men to hinder them. So when Aragorn asks what he will choose, this is how Éomer replies. "It is hard to be sure of anything among so many marvels. The world is all grown strange. Elf and dwarf and company walk in our daily fields. How shall a man judge what to do in such times?" "As he ever has judged," said Aragorn. "Good and ill have not changed since yesteryear, nor are they one thing among elves and dwarves and another among men. It is a man's part to discern them as much in the golden wood as in his own house." The doom of choice, as Tolkien would say. Because the truth is that for us, life is full of choices. Every day we make choices, some bad, some good. And we sense, I think rightly, that our choices matter. And some of our choices change the rest of our lives. The most important choice is whether or not you and I will follow Jesus. But following Jesus isn't a trail of roses. Most of us sympathize with Éomer because it does feel like the world is all grown strange. It feels like our modern age doesn't leave much room for faith. But I'll tell you, it's not easy to follow Jesus in our modern age because it's never been easy. Not in the ancient world when Jesus walked the earth, and not today. Alice Cooper, the rock singer, said, "Drinking beer is easy, trashing your hotel is easy, but being a Christian, that's a tough call. That's real rebellion." What Jesus proclaims has always been wildly uncomfortable. We saw that in our gospel reading today. Jesus was teaching about himself, and even his disciples couldn't handle it. It says in John chapter 6, verse 60, "On hearing it, many of his disciples said, 'This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?'" Now, the word "hard" we translate from the ancient Greek skleros does not mean hard to understand, but harsh or offensive. These disciples are about to leave Jesus because his words are intolerable. And in verse 61, it shows us that they were offended at what Jesus was teaching, because Jesus claimed to be the bread of life, and he called them to believe in him and only him, because only he could offer them eternal life. Now the question is, are you also offended by what Jesus has to say? So if you identify as a follower of Jesus, let me ask you something. Can you sit down with a friend or family member or a coworker and share with them what Jesus says of himself? that only Jesus is the bread of life, that only Jesus offers eternal life. In other words, that only in Jesus can we find what our hearts long for, that only Jesus is the solution to the human condition, that only Jesus answers the human question, why am I here and what is my purpose? Or is what Jesus says so offensive, you find ways of relativizing his claims to make them play nice with the surrounding culture? This is always one of the greatest temptations to those who follow God. You know, when Joshua led the Israelites into the land of Canaan, they were confronted with cultures who considered themselves superior, considered themselves more advanced, more modern. The beliefs of this ragtag group of ex-slaves was considered backwards, regressive, lacking in nuance. The Canaanites had modern views. They were pluralists. All gods were just fine. Some are good for some things and others are good for other. They knew which gods to pray to for rain. The Canaanite agricultural achievements dwarfed anything the Israelites could produce. They were technologically and considered themselves socially advanced. Now, the temptation was to, in the name of progress and fitting into their modern age, for the people of God to accommodate Canaanite beliefs rather than to be true to the God that saved them from slavery. That's why Joshua, in his farewell address, says to the people of God, he says to them, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua knew that despite the modern views of the Canaanites, the truth was that all human problems are ultimately symptoms, and our separation from God is the cause. And that's why he served the only true God. And that same God Joshua served came to us in the person of Jesus. He is the one who heals our separation from God. He's the only one that fulfills our human longing that nothing else can satisfy if only we choose him. Because Jesus is not a tyrant who forces himself on you. He invites you to choose. We all get to choose how to spend the rest of our life. Jesus revealed God's will and purpose for all humanity. And many disciples heard what Jesus had to say and, well, they just left. And what Jesus said to the remaining disciples, he says to us, do you want to leave too? You know, after Joshua died, the people of Israel were faithful for one more generation and then quickly found ways of perfectly fitting in to the surrounding Canaanite culture until they were virtually indistinguishable from the Canaanites. Is that true of you today? Is your commitment to Jesus so qualified and so nuanced that it's virtually indistinguishable from modern politics, from modern Western ethics, you know, a modern take on faith and spirituality? In other words, do your views, are your ultimate convictions, do they fit neatly with what our culture says is the right way to think and believe? Now, don't answer quickly. This is worth careful thought and consideration, because I'll tell you right now, it is impossible to follow Jesus and fit neatly into our world. Jesus says in John 7, verse 7, the world, it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. That means there are intersections in our views on politics, on human anthropology, on faith and spirituality, that to follow Jesus means you will be hated too. And here's the point. Practically speaking, disappearing by having extremely compatible beliefs to the surrounding culture and blending into the background, or walking away from Jesus, is the same thing. In today's epistle reading, St. Paul says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." My friends, there is incredible pressure to conform to the spirit of the age, because there is, in fact, a personal supernatural pressure to disdain and to reject the things of God. I mean, just go read Jesus' temptation in the desert. The enemy is real. It's hard. It's double hard to remain faithful to God in today's world and any world. And so here's a point. If you're having an easy go of it, I would say be concerned, because Jesus loved God perfectly and he was killed for it. Are you greater than our Master Jesus? Now, I want to be real. It's very possible to be hated because you're obnoxious. And following Jesus isn't a call to be obnoxious. But it's equally possible to have an easy go as a follower of Jesus because you're a coward. Or because your views are so nuanced, they're virtually indistinguishable from the surrounding culture. Our psalm today, it says this: "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken." An honest faith in Jesus that doesn't modify or qualify his word is going to make life harder. God doesn't say you're not going to have troubles. That's in verse 19. But he does promise to deliver you from them all. Another preacher reminded me this week that God is especially close in the tough times. Verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." When you are going through a difficult time, you may not necessarily feel God is close, but he is. God is there every time. Do you know how we can know that this is true? The clue is in verse 20 of our psalm today, when it says, "He protects all his bones, not one of them will be broken." This is a messianic prophecy fulfilled by Jesus. On the cross, his bones were not broken. Jesus, and only Jesus, chose to die on the cross, and he chose to willingly in order to cleanse us from our sin, to heal your heart and mine, to give us his life. And that's why we can trust him. So turn to him in repentance and faith. Thousands of years ago, Joshua called the people to repentance and faith. God always requires this first. So first, repentance. Throw away the foreign gods. Get rid of anything that is getting in the way of trusting God. And then second, yield your hearts to the Lord. Put your whole life into the hands of the Lord. St. Cyprian once said, "Whatever man prefers to God, that he makes a god to himself." And there are numerous other gods around today: money, sex, power. They're the obvious ones. But more subtle are the gods of acceptability, the god of not rocking the boat, the god of polite religion. They are false gods and not at all the way of Jesus. Rather, when things get hard and faith isn't easy, let's answer Jesus as St. Peter did when asked if he would leave. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is such a tremendous truth. Jesus, and only Jesus, has the words of eternal life. He is the Son of God, the Holy One of God. He is God, our Creator, our Savior, our King, and our friend. And he is the only one to whom we should go. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that even in the hardest times, you are always with us. And Lord, we ask that you strengthen us today to represent you faithfully, to represent you with courage, with clarity to those around us. Let us not sort of blend into the background of our culture, but let us stand for your love, for your truth, for your hope. Help us to do that, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.